Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, there are no nativity scenes in the church or in your homes or in the public square. There are no lights adorning the streets or the houses of our neighborhoods, no trees with presents underneath them to help us celebrate the birth of John. In the same way, there were no herald angels in the skies singing to the shepherds at John's birth. There were no wise men bringing gifts. There was no star in the sky guiding anyone to John's house. And that's the way it should be. Because even when John grew up and began his ministry, he freely confessed, "I am not the Christ, but he's coming." Throughout his ministry, John pointed to the Christ who was coming, and then when he had come, just months after John began his ministry, John didn't try to hold on to his popularity and to his disciples. John announced to the people and to his own disciples, "He must increase, I must decrease." And so it's good and right that we save the real celebration and festivities for the greater nativity that takes place 6 months from now, on December 24th and 25th. But today, on this June 24th, 6 months before we celebrate that greater nativity, we celebrate John's birth because he was 6 months older than Jesus. Because when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her that she would be a virgin mother of the Son of the Most High God, he also said, "Your relative Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant." And so we celebrate, 6 months before we celebrate Jesus' birth, the birth of John the Baptist, Jesus' relative. And we celebrate it just as John would want us to. Not pointing to John, but following John's finger, pointing to Christ. And when John was born, you remember the circumstances around that, I imagine, how 9 months earlier, the angel Gabriel, even before he came to Mary to announce to her the birth of her son, appeared to Zechariah, the priest who was ministering in the temple of God all by himself. And the angel Gabriel came and told him that he and his wife in their old age, barren though they were, would have a son. And they were to give him the name John. But Zechariah didn't believe it. And so the angel Gabriel punished him by taking away his ability to speak until the time should come for that promised child to be born. That promised child who would come, according to Gabriel, to prepare the way of the Lord, as Isaiah prophesied. You heard his prophecy in the Old Testament today. To prepare the people of Israel, the Jews, to receive their Messiah. And that's where our gospel picks up the story today. When that promised child, that child promised to Zechariah and Elizabeth, was born, just as the angel had said. And on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him and officially give him his name according to Jewish custom, also according to Jewish custom, the neighbors and relatives wanted to give him the name Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth and Zechariah said, "No. We will obey the word of the angel who promised this child. His name will be John." And then Zechariah's mouth was opened and he could speak again and he praised the Lord. And all the people wondered, "What will this child be?" But they already had their answer. What will this child be? It's all in his name. His name is John. from the Hebrew Yohanan, like Johann in German. The Lord has been gracious. Just as he was gracious to Elizabeth, giving her a child in her old age, John, his whole ministry, his whole life would be about proclaiming the grace of the Lord, that the Lord has been gracious. John the Baptist, preacher of grace. But weren't all the prophets and apostles preachers of grace? Of course they were. Grace is one of those attributes of God that's inseparable from his nature. It's who he is. It's who he said he was to Moses long ago. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Now, when John grew up, it's that other truth of God's nature, that other attribute of God, God's justice, his visiting the iniquity on people that John is probably most known for. John, a preacher of repentance. John, a preacher of the law, who showed the people of Israel their sins, that they were desperately lost. From the good and decent people in Israel to the worst sinners society knew, John preached to all of them with the same word. He lumped them all together under sin and said, "Repent. Repent, for even if you're good and decent in the eyes of the people, before God, you're all lost. You need a Savior." But what did Zechariah sing about his son? "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited," same word, isn't it? Same word that Moses said, God visits the iniquity of people against them, comes to them and punishes them for it. Now Zechariah says he's also the God who has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. God's wrath is visited against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, as even the Apostle Paul says. But God has also visited and redeemed his people and provided the shelter from his wrath in the house of his servant David. Now, Zechariah's son, whose birth we're celebrating, wasn't from the house of God's servant David, but from the house of Levi, like Zechariah, a priest. So even here, at the celebration of the birth of his son, John's father, Zechariah, isn't singing about his son. He's singing about someone who hasn't been born yet, but he's 3 months old, about this big, growing in the womb of the Virgin Mary, who was from the house of David, who was almost certainly standing right there in front of Zechariah on that day, because we're told in Scripture that when Gabriel announced to Mary that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant 6 months, she went and visited Elizabeth and stayed with her for about 3 months, which equals 9 months. She was almost certainly there when Zechariah was singing this song, praising God for sending, visiting his people with this horn of salvation from the house of his servant David. Now, just as John's father Zechariah didn't point to John at his birthday celebration, but to Jesus, so John, when he grew up, would not point to himself, but would point to Jesus and preach how the grace of God had visited the earth, literally in the person of Christ, how all the grace of God was so wrapped up in that person that you can't find God's grace anywhere else. but in the person of the Christ. And so Zechariah's song continued, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This is what John would preach. The grace of God that had come in Jesus, who is our salvation from our enemies of sin, our salvation from the enemy of death, our salvation from the enemy of the devil. That in Christ God had shown mercy and continually shows it. That here in Christ God had remembered his holy covenant, not the covenant of the law, where you have to do things to please God and receive forgiveness, but the holy covenant that Jeremiah spoke of, the new covenant of the forgiveness of sins. That's the covenant that John preached in Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Lambs were for blood. Lambs were for sacrifice. Sacrifice was for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus brought that New Testament in his blood by shedding it on the cross for the sins of all people. And so John points to him, and God invites all people to repent and believe in him for the forgiveness of sins. That's how you enter this new covenant, by faith in the Christ. But God, when he invites people to come into this covenant, doesn't invite people silently or secretly. He doesn't invite people into this covenant by whispering in your ear, or by warming up your heart, or by trumpeting it from heaven either. God invites people into this covenant through the spoken word. And that was the task that God gave to John, to speak this word of repentance, this word of the forgiveness of sins, to be a preacher of grace. The first New Testament prophet and the last of the Old Testament prophets. The first prophet who could say not only the Christ is coming, believe in him, but the Christ is right here at the door. Here he is. Believe in him. And so Zechariah saying, you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. But again, God doesn't just take his grace and his life and his forgiveness and toss it up into the air and scatter it to the four winds so that people have to go running after it to look for it, to find it, to try to catch it. No, God locates his grace. He puts it in a place. He puts his grace in the spoken word and in water that's attached to that word. We celebrate the feast of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, because he preached a repentance, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. God located his grace. You want to know you've received it? Here it is in the water of holy baptism. Here is Jesus with his word, in his means of grace. And so really what John did 2,000 years ago is what every preacher of grace does since then. Show secure sinners their sin and point penitent sinners to Jesus as the location of God's grace and forgiveness, and bring Jesus to people in word and in water. And now in this Holy Supper that Christ has given us for the forgiveness of sins, the meal of the new covenant. Now, pastors are preachers of grace that God sends to his people to walk in the footsteps of John the Baptist, pointing people to Christ. John really is the chief role model for every preacher. So it's for good reason that we bring John the Baptist with us into every divine service every Sunday. Do you notice him? Do you hear his voice? There's John the Baptist at the beginning of every service, reminding us of our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. John is with us every time we sing the Gloria, because it's his words we sing in the middle of that song. Lord God, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. John's words. Have mercy on us. John is here with us in the Agnus Dei, pointing us to Christ in his body and blood in the supper, where we sing again John's words. Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Have mercy. And another translation of have mercy, or eleison, as you sang today, is be gracious. And there's John's name. The Lord has been gracious. So that even he closes out our service for us every week. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. See how John, the preacher of grace, accompanies us still. The Lord has been gracious to all of you in sending his Son to redeem you, and in sending John to be the forerunner of Jesus who prepared the Jews and now still runs ahead to prepare us in the Word of Scripture. The Lord has been gracious to you in sending you other preachers of grace to administer his grace in its many forms to you, week in and week out, continually from the day of your baptism until the day of your death. Hear the word of God from the preachers of grace whom he sends. Like John the Baptist, we are nothing. Christ is everything. We do not preach ourselves. So don't expect us to pander to you or to schmooze you or to entertain you or to make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. If you find a preacher like that, run away as fast as you can. We are called to stand where John stood and to walk in his footsteps, pointing away from ourselves, pointing to Christ, because that's what John always did. When he came, it wasn't angel choirs, it wasn't wise men from the east, it wasn't a guiding star. John's life and John's ministry point to the morning star, to, as Zechariah says, the sunrise, who shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.